stand before your throne, dressed in glory, not my own. What a joy I'll sing upon that day. No more tears or broken dreams, forgotten is the minor key. Everything as it was meant to be. And we will worship, worship. Forever in your presence we will sing. We will worship, worship you. An endless hallelujah to the King. As you are, love you with unsinning heart. See how much you paid to bring me home. Not till then, Lord, shall I know. Not till then how much I owe. Everything I am before your throne. And we will worship, worship. Forever in your presence we will see. Worship, worship you, an endless hallelujah to the King. We'll worship, worship, forever in your presence we will sing. We will worship, worship you. An endless hallelujah to the King. An endless hallelujah to the King. We'll sing an endless hallelujah to the King.
You may be seated. As you look around, you can see that some people know that school is out and summer has started, and we've kind of already started in with some of our summer vacations. So we're down. We're down a little bit this week than we were last week. There are several graduations that are going on today as well. So we've got people that are out and about traveling. So be in prayer that not only are they having a good time, and a safe time, but they'll remember to come back to us when they get done having all that fun. So if you would, turn with me to your bulletins. I've got a few announcements that I want to touch on. This morning we will be honoring a couple of our high school graduates this morning. Directly following service today, there is an NMI council meeting and luncheon, so be prepared to stay for that. If you're a part of the NMI. And then tonight, we have our second night of small groups. And then there will also be church here. And I have been told.
Go ahead. If you've been told, I'll just go sit down.
Attaboy.
If it's the same thing, I'm going to tell you.
If you look at your little visitor slip, on the back of it, sermon in a sack. Now, I can't tell you what sermon in a sack is.
It means it's in the bag.
But it sounds like it's in the bag. So for those of you that will be here tonight, you can read over that. If you have any biblical questions that you just can't seem to find the answer to, maybe we can help you tonight. So write out your question that you've got down at the bottom of the paper here so you'll remember it for tonight. And tonight, it's in the bag.
That was not what I was going to tell you. So, at any rate, for those of you who have very small children and are part of small groups tonight, we've been trying to work out this whole child care issue and children's ministry and all kinds of things, and we're still kind of working the bugs out. But for tonight, those of you who, when I grow up, I'll be just like you. For tonight, at the church, those of you who have pre-kindergarten children, bring them to the church. Or if you're in the small group that meets at my house, Just be there. I will pick them up from the house and walk them across the field. For those of you who are in the other small group over at Mike and Mary's, just bring them here to the church. There'll be someone here to cover that. But I have a helper, or I'm going to be the helper or something. But this is my night to make sure that I help you know that I believe in what we're doing with small groups. And so until we can get this thing worked out totally, Pastor Don's got things covered here. I'm going to take care of the babies. So we'll see how that goes. And, but I got help coming too. I got help coming too. So anyway, we have that covered for all of you. So your kids will be taken care of, and they'll be safe, and everything will be good. And
Let's go ahead and pray right now.
Anyway, we definitely believe in what we're doing with small groups. We're very excited about what happened last time, and so we're looking forward to a great night tonight. And I want to make sure that I do my part to help facilitate that. So I'm going to step into to that role tonight so that we be sure that we have your children taken care of.
Yeah. We had a great turnout 2 weeks ago for our launch of our small groups, and we're hoping that it will continue and be a great thing that we can start in this church. So be in prayer for that, and the services is going on here at the church as well. Tuesday nights, it's going to be a late night, 9:45 the men play over in Ozark. I've had a few different people ask me, hey, what time are you guys playing this week? We want to come out and watch. And I said, hey, 9:45. And they're like, hey, what time do you play the following week? Well, the following is 5:45. So if you can't come out this Tuesday at 9:45, the following is 5:45. But we're having fun out there. We may not be winning all the games, but we are having a good time in fellowship and recreation. So we do appreciate you guys coming out and cheering us on and supporting us. It is a good time. Wednesday night, we'll again have our regular scheduled adult Bible study and choir practice. The children and the teens will meet as well. And then next Sunday is our last Sunday of the month, is our fourth Sunday. So that means we'll have our dog celebration and our potluck luncheon after the morning service. So be prepared for that. Bring a dish, and we'll eat some food.
You should
have
been at senior adult luncheon. We had 3 trays of deviled eggs.
Did you leave anybody?
Wow. Now, some of you ladies that made the deviled eggs for last Thursday, you got another chance next week to bring some more. So hopefully you're not deviled out and you can bring some more. The last announcement that I have is to present a birthday card to a certain young lady that has a birthday tomorrow. I asked around a couple different people and said, well, how old is she going to be tomorrow? And the only answer I got was 29 years old. Times 2 minus a whole bunch. So Jennifer has a birthday tomorrow, and we've got a card that we are going to present to her this morning. Come on up.
Thank you. I appreciate this, and I will be turning 55 tomorrow, so if anybody needs to know, I'm not embarrassed by that. That's all right.
It was your son that told me.
It did, okay. But I love and appreciate y'all, and I appreciate your showing your appreciation for me, and I will enjoy the day tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, that is all the announcements I have. I believe Amber's going to come and share an announcement about Vacation Bible School.
Good morning. Good morning. How many of you know it's 2 weeks from tonight?
VBS.
I cannot believe it. I was going, oh, my goodness, it's in 2 weeks. Oh, okay, we're doing good. We're on the right track. We're getting there. I feel like a chicken with my head cut off, running around getting last-minute things done. But we will be ready to go. I was so excited. Friday night, Soccer Day Parade, and we had a boat, sure how it worked. Some of us walked, and we handed out 400 flyers, and just praying and hoping, you know, there'll be people that come in from that even just that. I've put it on various public websites, and we'll continue to put it on other Facebook pages and things like that. And so if you need more flyers, if you want to hand it out to your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, nephews, whoever, 4 to 6th grade, let me know. There's probably some out there if you can't find any, and I'll be more than happy to give them to you. Trying to make things a little less chaotic our first night, when we usually have a lot of kids come in and sign up. I've got early registration forms. Yay! So if you've got kids that are coming, or grandkids that are coming, or anything along those lines, and you want to take this and go ahead and fill it out, get them signed up, and get it back to me, that will save a lot of mess come first night of sign up. If you're a leader, or if you're somebody who was wanting to kind of wear a costume that night, or is going to wear a costume, while I'm thinking of it, Mr. Steve down there is going to be playing Paul. We need to get you guys fitted, you all fitted for those, and decide what you are going to wear. And Miss Jennifer Swearingen has volunteered. She will help you do that. Not today. They've got a meeting today. But in the next week or two, if you will talk to her, that way we all are ready to go come that first night. I still have, oh, prayer room, yes. We're going to have a prayer room that night. It will be in where Troy's Sunday school class is right now, across from the women's bathroom, or across from the nursery. If you, I hope y'all come out on that Sunday night, whether you're going to work or not. Pastor, is it you that's leading it? Pastor is leading a prayer for that night, and you'll come and you'll pray for the workers, the kids that are here. I mean, we all know a power of prayer is just phenomenal. It goes past what we can actually comprehend. And so I'm really hoping that you'll come out that Sunday night, see what we've done, see how many kids are here, and we'll take the time to just stop and just, we'll be surrounded by prayer that night. And I know amazing things will happen. So please plan on coming out in those 2 weeks. I mean, please don't think, well, I don't have any kids here or anything. Please come out. It will be awesome. Even if you're here for half an hour, it will be great. I still have our donation board outside here on the children's bulletin board going out this door. There's a few things that we still need donated, and there's still a few things that we would love to borrow if it's all possible. If you have them, some greenery for some decorations, or if you have any kind of lawn statues that would go with the Greek theme, we would love to borrow those, and we'll make sure you get them back. I do end up with a few extra t-shirts. You've seen some of our Athens t-shirts. I wore mine one day. I ended up with a few extra, and so if you're somebody who missed out, didn't get one, but would like one, let me know. You know, they've already got the sizes set, but let me know, and we might find one that would work for you if you were wanting one. If there's anything else, I was hoping to have another meeting, and then when I got to looking that next week's Memorial Weekend, and then the next week's VBS, I'm going, oh, no. So if I don't get one, please come hunt me down if you're a worker and need something. I'm hoping to get around to talk to everybody. And if I don't, please come tell me. Please come talk to me. You know, get my attention, and I will make note and get taken care of anything that you need. Just let me know. Thank you.
All right. Well, at this time, we're going to head into our greeting time. So if you guys would stand and greet one another in the Lord this morning.
after we were talking about, Amber was talking about the prayer room that we're going to have for Bible school, I was looking at my notes here that I had printed off for our mission moment today, and I wanted to read this verse that's up here at the top. I think it's probably up there every time, and I've never really paid that much attention to it, but I wanted to today. It says, "Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day." And what I'm going to mention today are some prayer requests and praises from our missions department. One of the things that they've mentioned here is they recently had 15 high school students from Colombia, Ecuador, and Venezuela recently accept Christ, and they were working with people through Point Loma Nazarene University. So they're very excited about that and these kids going back and working in South America. So you remember to pray for these 15 high school kids. The other one I want us to mention is in Central Asia. There's, despite recent laws that have resulted in church closures and mergers, these churches and leaders are not discouraged, and pray for the Lord for sustaining and encouraging the churches in these areas. You know, that's one of the things that, for the most part, we don't have to think about or worry about here in the United States. We have a church, whether it's a rented building or whether it's a building that's purchased and paid for, we come and we meet, and we don't have to think about the church being closed behind us because of landlords or whatever, for the most part. And a lot of our churches in other parts of the world have that to deal with regularly. One of the things, I wished I knew more about this story, but I don't. And I think this guy's name is pronounced Yuri. He is a bivocational Nazarene pastor in Ukraine, and he was rescued and is safe after being trapped in a well that collapsed on top of him. He was about 60 feet deep in the well when the walls caved in on him. And he says, "There was only enough room and space for me to kneel. So I prayed, kneeling there, like Jonah on inside the well. There were issues I needed to stop and think about, and I never had time. Now, as my chance to reevaluate what was important to me, I began to pray." And, you know, I hope it doesn't take us having to be trapped in a situation that we'd have nothing to do but kneel and pray and evaluate our life. But if that's what it takes, I hope that when we find ourselves in that situation, that that's what we're doing, that we're praying and evaluating ourselves. As a note of praise, the Southern Florida District generously surprised Pastor Paul and his wife with a gift of a pickup at their recent NMI convention, and they pastor the largest Nazarene church in Haiti, and he also serves as the superintendent of the Upper Artibonite or something like that district. I'm not sure how that's pronounced, but anyway, he's district superintendent, and the Florida, Southern Florida District gave him a vehicle to help with his ministries, and so that's a wonderful praise there. With Bible school for us and lots of other things going on and these mission requests here, I hope if one of these pops into your mind this week, you'll be sure and pray for it.
We wanted to be sure that Jennifer didn't fall and hurt herself going down those steps. It took a pretty big paper sack for me to get into. In fact, we had to shop quite a while to find a paper bag. But tonight we're going to have the first ever sermon in a sack here. And so In case you missed that announcement, I just happen to have a few of those slips for questions. If you're going to be here tonight, we'd like for you to take one of these if you don't have a bulletin. How about a couple of you guys from over there coming and helping me? And if they hold their hand up, give them one of these things to fill out for a question. Slip your hand up right where you are. Anybody? No takers? Not even one question? Holy cow. Maybe everybody's got a bulletin. That's great. Okay, give them back to me. I'm going to have to tape these back together so they'll run through my printer. And I can use them for sheets. You know, it helps when you've got a nutty old man up here, you know it? Janet keeps playing louder and louder so you can't hear what I'm saying. Today, as we receive our offering, we want to point out to you the fact that this is a Sunday that has been designated as a day for scholarships as we honor our seniors. The church has scholarships that we use at various times, and so if you have money that you'd like to donate to a scholarship today, please make sure that it gets in the offering plates. And we'll ask our ushers to come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Father, we are blessed today to be in your house. Thank you for your love and your blessings on our lives. And thank you, Lord, for a time when we can smile. Think about the good things you've done for us. Now bless this offering, we ask, in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Of wrath, the deep thunder. Defender, Redeemer, and
A very interesting view from this side, looking out on you and watching you worship and watching you spontaneously respond to certain things that are sung, words that are meaningful to you, whether it's a raised hand or when we sing about standing on holy ground and you stand to your feet, and those things bless me. And because I can see that you are personalizing worship. It's not about what everybody else is doing. And we want you to understand, this just is a good place for me to say this, we want you to understand, if you're physically unable to stand as long as we stand sometimes, then be seated. It's okay. We want you to be comfortable. We want you to think about God. We want you to be able to be in His presence. That's all we want to try to invoke His presence in what we do. And if you can do that more comfortably being seated, that's okay. And if you want to stand, that's okay. And sometimes if I ask you to stand and you get tired of standing and you want to be seated before everybody else is, that's okay too. We just want you to be here in the presence of God and worship as God has made you able to do so at this point in time in your life. And so we thank you for just your spontaneous responses to what God is doing in our service this morning. And we want to just mention very quickly some things that we need to be mindful of. I think most of you are aware by now that one of our church family, Brother Adrian Carlson, went home to be with Jesus at 8 o'clock this morning. And so we want to remember Joanne and her boys as they will be making arrangements to, as I understand it, as of a call this morning, he will be cremated there, and then they'll return here and do a memorial service here is the plan tentatively right now. And so we'll keep you updated as to that. Brother Adrian was a very wonderful part of our congregation, he and Joanne, and we will miss him from our services. And then also some things that aren't in your bulletin this morning, we want to remember George Ann's mom, the George Ann Raper, who's in the hospital there in her home. And then Virginia has asked us to remember a friend of hers named Rhonda, Virginia Owens. This is Virginia Owens. And Remy was sick yesterday, and that's why they're not here today, had fever, and we're trying to be mindful, just like they do in schools, of the 24-hour rule of fevers and all those kinds of things that we do. And so we're trying to take good care of your kids, and thanks for trusting them to me tonight. I'll do my best, and we'll see what we can do to help out with that. But continue to remember these many situations. We're so glad to see Dave and Tammy here this morning. Continue to lift their family up as they're going through this transition and the loss of her father. And also, in just a moment, I'm going to ask our two graduates to come and be seated here on one of the front pews. And Mike, if you can, if we can get a live camera shot when we actually get to the point of presentations and things, because Stevie's mom is in Florida, but she has access to computers, okay? And DJ's grandpa was here last weekend, and with all the things that happened, that didn't turn out exactly like they had originally planned. But we want to be able to get where he can see DJ receive that Bible this morning. We want that to happen for you, DJ. These are the moments when I am most thankful for technology, to where we can include people in things that they couldn't be here physically and a part of, because family is important. And these are big moments in our lives, and so we thank you
for helping us with this this morning. But we want to, we're going to sing in just a moment, and then we're going to pray together. These altars are open to you. And DJ and Stevie, I'll ask you to come and just find a place here on the front pew. And in just a moment, we want to specifically make some presentations to you. Come ahead, gentlemen. Let's join our voices together in a song. And these altars are open. If you have need of them for prayer time, we ask you to come and to be a part of that. And then we're going to have a special prayer time and presentation with the graduates after this. But let's sing together. And if you have need, you feel free to come.
Holy Spirit, Lord.
Father, we are indeed grateful for the opportunity and the privilege of being in your house today. And as we approach this special time, a kind of a two-phase prayer time, Lord, we want to thank you for your presence here this morning. We want to thank you for each one who's come and gathered here to worship you this morning, to learn of you, to hear from you. Lord, and we believe that all those things are possible and indeed going to happen today in the course of this service, that you will speak to our hearts, continue to give us leadership and guidance as to our lives and what they hold. Lord, today we come with this list of requests in our bulletin that you would respond to. We've tried to verbalize some things that were not in writing this morning. And Father, we pray particularly that you'll be with the Carlson family today in their loss. We pray you continue to be with Tammy and her family and the loss of her father. Father, we pray that you would just be with those who are traveling today, some who are going to graduations and celebrations, and Lord, we pray that you'd watch over them. And then, Lord, we pray for the sake of our economy, some things that are going on. Lord, we know there are people who are having right now, we've just heard of today, who have made adjustments because of expenses and because of various things, trips they would have liked to have made, things they would have liked to have done. Lord, we know that you took the loaves and the fishes and you blessed them and you made them to be more. So, Lord, we just submit ourselves to you. We submit our plans to you, our lives to you, and just ask you to continue to bless and provide for us, Lord. And, Lord, we know there are some of our family who have come to a point of being outside of employment. And we pray, Father, that you would touch them and that, Lord, you would open doors of opportunity to provide for their needs. We know that not only are you the great healer, but you're also a protector and provider of your children. And Lord, we just pray that you would have your will and your way in all these situations that are going on. Well, Lord, we indeed want to give you glory and honor and praise, for you are worthy. You are the great God, Jehovah. You are the creator and sustainer of the universe. You are savior of our lives. You are everything. And the song that Janet played for Offertory, Lord, you are more, so much more than I could ever say. And so, Father, we just pray that you would receive our love. And, Lord, we certainly sense your presence and your love today. And we pray that you would continue to guide and direct and to bless as we yield our lives to you unconditionally. And we give you praise today in the precious and the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Just before the choir sings this morning, I'm going to ask Stevie, you and DJ, to kind of stand right there in that gap between those two altars. And then if family would like to come and just stand behind them, that'd be all right. We'll let you do that if you want to come. And if you can remember which kid's yours, and pick one out and stand behind them, and we'll do that. Now, I'm going to ask you, Stevie and DJ, to turn and face the congregation because you know how ugly I am and what I look like. And so you don't have to look at me. And, yeah, if you guys will stand here and you guys will stand here. Isn't it great to have these families with us? Amen. All right. And we are proud of these young men and this accomplishment in their life. And it is our tradition and our practice to present to our graduating seniors a Bible. Because we want you to know that we believe that God's opinion is most important. And as you seek direction in your life, we believe within the pages of that Bible are the answers to the questions about life and to the solutions to problems that you might encounter. And when you can't get maybe somebody on the phone that you feel comfortable talking to, you know, you can always look into the Word of God and know that God speaks to you and that you can speak to Him at any point in time. And once we confirm that this indeed is a copy of the Bible that you want to keep, there is a tag in it so you can go and have your name imprinted on it at no charge to you. And once you decide that that is specifically the color and the kind that you want, then I will be glad to write in it for you from your church a message of love so that when you open its pages, you'll be reminded when you're away at college and think nobody can remember where you are or who you are, that you'll look inside the cover of that Bible and it will remind you that there is a church family here that is praying for you and that loves you and indeed is very proud of what you have accomplished to this time and this point in your life. So I have two Bibles. They are two different colors. And if you don't like the color you receive, you can either trade with each other or you can simply take it back to the place at CPO where it was purchased, and you can get whatever you is the kind and color that you would like that matches up to that, okay? And then once you have that, I'll be glad to write in it a message from your church family to you. And so, with that said, Stephen Beechler, we are proud of you. We love you, and we appreciate you. And we pray that this will be a guidebook the rest of your life, and that we know that you have been active in Bible quizzing, and that you will take all of those passages that you have memorized, and that when you don't actually have the Bible in your hand, that indeed the Holy Spirit will bring those things to your mind and help you to be strong and to make the decisions that God indeed wants you to make. Would you congratulate Stevie this morning, please? DJ, we are proud of you as well. And I remember, it's probably about junior high age when you guys first started coming out here most of the time. And I think you've grown some since then. And so now I have to look up to you. So I hope that in the past you've been able to look up to me. At any rate, just as we've just said with Stevie, this is a copy of God's Word that we present to you from a heart of love. Your church family loves you and appreciates you. We want you to succeed in life. We want you to have God's blessing in His direction. And so written within these pages are the answers to all your questions and the directions to all of your problems that you may run into. And indeed, we want you to have this from us and know that we love you and appreciate you so very, very much. And we want to pray God's blessing over these young men, and then I'll let you applaud, okay? And so let's bow and pray for them now. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you today for Stevie and for DJ and for their life as part of our church family. We thank you for their lives individually, and we pray your blessing upon them as they pursue the plans that you have for them and the things that they believe you've laid on their heart and the future that you desire for them. We thank you for these parents and extended family members that are here today. We thank you for their love and support, and Lord, we want them to know that we join them as church family in supporting these young men who mean so much to us, and wherever they go and whatever they do, may they remember there are folks back home who are praying for them and lifting them up to the throne room of God by name, and that you indeed are watching over them and guiding and directing all that they would say and do, and we give you praise and thanksgiving for it all. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, amen. Amen. Would you congratulate these young men this morning? All right. Now, Jim, I'm going to ask you to remain right here on the front pew because I'm going to speak specifically to you, but to all this morning. But we honor you, and so we give you the seat of honor right here at the front. We know you want to be there. And so we appreciate that. And thank you, families, for coming and joining these young men this morning. We're going to hear from the choir, and then we'll give you a message from God's Word.
We're going to sing this morning. I hope that you'll remember the words to it. Yes, I believe, because you're going to have times in your life when you will be challenged as to what you believe and why. And congratulations, we believe in you, and we do want you to know what you believe and why. Thank you.
choir. I always like it when you sing. I like it. It always sounds good. Thank you, Steve. You do a great job leading our choir. Appreciate that. We have great musicians and great singers and great group of people in the pews. We got a great church. We have a great God. And indeed, it's a joy to come and to worship Him. And so, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Oh, that's the most excellent move, you guys. I'm glad you had your Bibles with you this morning. Thank you so much. Appreciate you bringing those. Now, I just tell you, every time I get a new Bible, like, there's pages that stick together. So it's always the ones that I want to find that are all conglomerated there. So anyway, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. I want to talk to you this morning in particular about what's your plan. And, of course, we're speaking primarily to our graduates this morning. But it's a consideration that we all have to make continually through our lives. How many of you remember growing up and probably being asked multiple times by relatives and friends and those kinds of things, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And immediately we begin to tell them. And then the next holiday gathering, they would ask us again, and we would tell them something different. And indeed, some of you probably decided and locked into something sooner than others. And others of you may have changed from event to event with family when they would come together. They say that the average American changes jobs as an adult 7 times in their life. And so I'm way behind. And I got to catch up or something. But at any rate, I knew that God had begun to deal with me about the call to ministry when I was age 13. So I had a little different course than maybe what some people have when they're trying to figure out what it is they want to do with their lives. But the thought that crossed my mind as I was praying and planning and preparing for this week is perhaps as parents, as Christian parents, perhaps we would do our kids a favor if early on we begin to ask them, what do you think God wants you to do with your life? Instead of asking them the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because the implication is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Is it's all about you. And the truth of the matter is, what I want to establish with you this morning is that God, in His infinite wisdom, cares for you more than you can imagine, that He made you specifically who you are and gifted you the way He's gifted you, and certainly you can embellish upon those gifts as you prepare and study and do the things that He gives you the energy and ability to do, but that He has a plan for your life and that you would be far better off to follow His plan than perhaps to chase after your own dreams sometimes, because sometimes our dreams can take us away from God. Sometimes our plans can be different than the plan that God has for us. Now, that's not always the case. Oftentimes there are people that are gifted and they know their talents and abilities and they come right into God's plan and they know early on. And certainly that's possible and doable. And so I encourage you, if you don't already know that at this stage of your life, as you prepare particularly to go into college and things, to truly consider, God is where I'm headed, indeed, what you want me to do with my life. And so we read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined. And here's the part I want you to really catch. According to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. According to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. And so the first question I have for you this morning is this. Where'd your plan come from? Indeed, do you have a plan? Pastor Don just repeated this old phrase in Bible study on Wednesday night, and it's so true. If we fail to plan, then we plan to fail. We cannot go at life without some kind of a plan. We need some kind of direction, some kind of organization. And some people will go into it much more detailed than others, but at least if our plan is to pursue God, that's a better plan than saying, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, I'm going to wake up and see what happens. We need to have some direction. We need to have a plan. And so the question this morning is, where does the plan come from? Indeed, is it a plan from your own heart and mind and devices, or is it a plan from God? And I turn your attention to the book of Proverbs this morning. And in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, we read these words, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." And in Proverbs chapter 19 in verse 21. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so we begin to get the idea here that indeed God is sovereign. And when we're not listening so well, if truly our heart is open, even though our mind may be headed in another direction, that if we keep ourselves open, that God in His sovereignty can move us to where He would like for us to be. Now, for those people who aren't listening to God, don't pay any attention to God, don't care about God, that's probably not necessarily going to be the way that things works out, although God is ultimately in control of all things. But He's never forced His will upon man. He doesn't make you do something. But He offers to us the opportunity and He provides for us the way. And the truth of the matter is, God has had a plan for people's lives for a long time. Let me just very quickly help you to be mindful of some things that are in the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And actually, Mike, it needs to be Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4. That's a typo on my part, because I'm the one that typed it. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4 says this. We're talking about Moses. When the Lord saw he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. And then when we move to the 10th verse of that same third chapter, it's this way. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And so God indeed has a plan for Moses' life. Moses didn't realize it until just now. He's talking to a burning bush, hearing the voice of God, but indeed now receiving direction that he would go to the particular place that God wants him to go, that he would do the particular thing that God indeed wants him to do. And if we turn over in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, we're reading about a man named Gideon. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Well, that's a great greeting. And then he got some further direction as we read in verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And we know in these stories that these guys had excuses and they had thoughts and they tried to work around the plan. But indeed, God spoke to them and He said, I'm going to do this particular thing with you if you'll allow me to. God had a plan. God knew that He had confidence in those people to carry those things out. He gave them the directions. It was up to them to accept and follow the directions. But God gave them a plan. He said, I can use you. And here's what I want to accomplish. And there were some pretty great things that these guys were going to do. They were delivering the people of God. And where God leads you and what He asks you to do may have an impact on a lot more people than you have ever realized. We look over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we read in 1 Samuel 3:10, the Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And we find in verse 21 these words, the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there He revealed Himself to Samuel through His Word. Now, these Bibles that you've been given, same as any other Bible you already have, within these Bibles, there are some things that sometimes when you're having a hard time saying, wow, am I hearing the voice of God? Or am I hearing some other voice? When you get into the Word of God affirms sometimes what you're hearing in your head and your heart by endorsing that it's the truth. Now, if you're hearing something that's contrary to what's printed in that book you've got in your lap, that's not God. If that voice is telling you to go to do something that's different than what that Bible says, that's not God. That's one of the ways that we can tell. And that's what it said here. As God spoke to Samuel, He spoke to him almost virtually in an audible voice initially when Samuel heard him as a small boy. And then it says He continued to reveal Himself to him. And God will continue to reveal Himself to you if indeed you are seeking His plan. He doesn't want you to be confused. He doesn't want you to not know where you're going. But indeed, He has a plan for your life, and He wants to help carry that out in you. And so I want also to refer you to one more person. We've talked about some Old Testament personalities. Let me take you to the New Testament and read to you from the book of Acts in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Speaking of Saul, he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And then we want to read on through verse 6. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he said. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Okay, so he's got to follow the first direction, get up and go in the city, and then he's going to be given more direction. And sometimes God only gives us a small part of the puzzle, because if he gives us too much, we start trying to change it. Or maybe not go with it at all, you know. And so he said, okay, do this first. Now, if you do this, there's more. You ever had one of those kind of games? Like, did your parents ever, like with your Easter basket or your Christmas gifts or whatever, like give you clues and you had to go find this clue? If you ever done that, and it's like, how long does it take to get to the real stuff? But sometimes God's like that. He says, okay, you get this first. Let me see if I can trust you with something small, and then I'm going to give you the big load, okay? Tell you what it's all about. And if we turn over in the 26th chapter of that same book of Acts, we find where Saul has become Paul and he's testifying. I will rescue you from your own people. He's talking about Jesus speaking to him. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Well, that's a big job. I mean, Jesus struck Saul down and basically said to him, I got the Jews covered. You got the Gentiles. That's a big task. But he began to pursue it, and he began to do it. And look at the impact that the Apostle Paul, when Jesus struck him down on the Damascus Road as the man Saul, he didn't know he was going to write books of the Bible. He didn't know he was going to start churches. He just knew he was being confronted by a power that was bigger and stronger than he was. And yet that power in his life said, this is what I want you to do. And so sometimes we see ourselves as being insignificant, maybe even being on the wrong side of the fence with God at times in our life, rebellious and obstinate, those kind of things. But indeed, God speaks to us. And he says, I can use you. I have a plan for you. And so the first thing that we have to establish is whatever plan it is we have in our life about where we think we're going to go or what we think we're going to do, did it come from me or did it come from God? I promise you, I guarantee you on my life that God's plan is always the best plan for you. I promise you. The second thing is this. Who helped confirm the plan? The truth of the matter is sometimes when we're thinking about things on our own, we wonder, okay, is this just me? And we can indeed sometimes speak to other people and find people who will help us to affirm that indeed it is from God. Maybe there's somebody who knows the Bible better than me. Maybe there's somebody who's been walking with God longer than me. Perhaps there's somebody around who has maybe already done the same job, even in the secular realm, that I think God is leading me to do, to be an architect or a retail car salesman or whatever. Whatever it is, there's already people out there who've been down that path and gone that way and done that thing. And indeed, we find these words in the Word of God in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And then we find in Proverbs 20 and verse 18 these words. Make plans by seeking advice. The problem is sometimes we want what we want so bad, we don't seek advice because we don't want anybody to tell us we might be wrong. We don't want anybody to say, well, you might not be listening to the right voice. We want something so bad that we don't seek counsel. And the truth of the matter is, God has provided us with a myriad of people who can help us. People that we don't necessarily always want to go ask questions of, like our parents. Or perhaps our pastor or our Sunday school teacher or any person who I know of the Christian faith that's older than me and been down the road before. You know, we all want to believe that we kind of got to do our own thing and go our own way and establish our independence and find it out on our own. And there's an element of truth to that because we're all individuals and God has a specific plan for each of us. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things in life that are consistent. And if we consistently go to the wrong places, we'll consistently get in trouble. If we consistently don't listen to God, we'll consistently be listening to the devil. And we have to stop and think about these things and indeed make the right choices, listen to the right people, and have these people who have advice, these people who know God and His Word, these people who have experience in the areas that we're interested in, that we believe God might be leading us in, we can consult those people. And do we look for them for an absolute concrete answer? No. But the Bible says we seek the counsel of many people and we bring those factors in, then we're more able to make a wise decision because we have all of this information coming into us. So did the plan come from me or did it come from God? Who have I asked to help me confirm this plan? Is it indeed affirmed in the Word of God that I'm doing the right thing and headed in the right direction? And then here's the third thing. What's the guarantee on this plan? Well, the good news is God has given you, right in that book in your lap, He has given you some guarantees. Let me share a couple of them with you. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. How great is that promise? Commit to the Lord. Whatever your dreams are, whatever your hopes are, whatever your visions are, commit that to God and say, Lord, is this indeed where you want me to go? And know that as you commit your plans and things to the Lord, that He will help you to succeed if indeed your plans are in line with His plans. And then I remind you of a verse that has always become so much popular or so well known around graduation time. And it's written on jewelry and all kinds of pictures and things that people buy from the Bible bookstores. But it's Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, what kind of a guarantee is that? That's a pretty good deal. For God to say, DJ, I know you by name. I know how many hairs are on your head. I know what I want you to do. I know what I've equipped you to do. Got a plan for your life. Stevie, I know where I want you to be tomorrow. I know what you want to do. I want to tell you. I want to help you understand. If you'll trust me, I can do great things with your life. That's what God's saying. And He's saying, I have plans for you, and I know you better than you know yourself. Do either of you know how many hairs are on your head? God does. Do any of you know what your future holds? God does. So why not entrust our life to someone who knows what's ahead of us? Why not entrust our lives to somebody who knows how many hairs are on my head or lack thereof? Because He loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you, to provide for you a way to get away from the penalty of sin and to give to you a life that not only is good for you, but it's beneficial to others that you impact all around you. And then I want to remind you of a final thing today. Do you know what today is? Boy, it's the 19th of May, Pastor. Good answer. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday comes 50 days after the Easter celebration. But what's the significance of that? Well, here's what I think the significance is. As we realize that almost always in our church, when we celebrate Graduate Sunday, it's almost always on Pentecost Sunday. Now, not absolutely every time, but most of the time it falls right there on the same date. Think about this. What was Pentecost? Pentecost was a time when Jesus left and God's presence was on the earth through His power of His Holy Spirit. Okay? It's the birthday of the New Testament church. It's a new beginning. There's always been the people who are God's people. There's always been a body of believers in God. But in the presentation of Pentecost, there was the birth of the New Testament church. It was a new beginning. Now, you've been working on education already for several years. But you know full well that with the presentation of that diploma, you step into a whole different level. You begin a college education. You have the opportunity sometimes to move out of your house, to be kind of independent, kind of do your own thing. And so now you're going to experience some freedoms that you've never had before. There's going to be some opportunities that are going to come that were never presented before. You're going to have more decision-making power because now everybody's not just going to tell you what to do. There's going to be all this myriad of options out there, and you got to select. So there is a new beginning, just like there was with the church. There's a new beginning in your life. The other thing about Pentecost was it was the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit coming into the lives of those apostles. It was God who had been in the flesh with Jesus. Now His Spirit's coming into the hearts of those believers to give them guidance and direction and to do what? To empower them. Isn't that what the Scripture says, Stevie? In Acts? It says it came to be, to give, it was the power. And so God is saying to you, if you will open your heart and mind to my Holy Spirit in this new beginning, I will give you guidance. I'll give you direction. You know, the Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, go this way or don't go that way. And He will empower you to be able to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. And indeed, He will be there for you, inside of you, every step of the way. So Pentecost Sunday really parallels to this new beginning in your life. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to have control? Will you allow God to give you the direction that He wants to give you? The bottom line is, He loves you more. He loves you more than mom and dad do. He loves you more than the church family does. It's hard to imagine that from a God that we can't see or physically touch, because we know our parents make sacrifices for us and they love us and they invest themselves in us. But God loves you more than any of us have the ability to. And He wants you, because you're His child, He wants you to succeed. If I would ask Steve Beachler, Steve, do you want Stevie to succeed in life? He would begin to tell me things about how he's tried to shape moral values and give direction and teach things and that he believes would help Stevie to be successful. And in the times that Stevie maybe has made a bad decision, he would have pain in his heart. He would be disappointed. Is he mad at him? Probably not for very long. Is he disappointed? Maybe. Is he brokenhearted? Could be. But he still loves him. But God, see, God loves you more than that. And Dave and Tammy, you know, man, they've been so proud of you from the very beginning, you know. I had to listen to those conversations at the gym about doing math awards and all that kind of stuff, you know. They're just proud of you, and they're going, he's going to succeed, he's going to be okay. The bottom line is, success is not just about you using the talents that God gave you. It's about you letting the God who gave them to you guide you and direct you. Because He knows what He put in you better than anybody else. And so as you yield your life to Him, He has a plan. And with His plan is a guarantee. And you won't get that anywhere else. So I encourage you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To keep the Holy Spirit guidance counselor in your life. To take those Bibles and read them. And to let God speak to your heart. Because He cares and He wants you to succeed. And He wants to use you like He used that little boy's loaves and fishes to feed 5,000 people. He wants to use your talents and your abilities to make a difference in this world. So let me pray a prayer once again of God's blessing on your life this morning. Because we love you as well. And we want you to succeed. And so just know that beyond your own family, that there's a church family behind you that loves you and wants you to find that plan that God has for your life and go out and make a difference to your world. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus today, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for Graduate Sunday and the opportunity to honor the accomplishments in these young men's life. And Lord, we thank you for the lives that have gone before them and are out there making a difference right now as we speak. And Lord, our prayer is that you would touch Stevie, and he's just a DJ. Just pour your Holy Spirit into their life. Help them, Lord, to always be open to you. And Lord, I pray that you would take them and bless them. I pray, Lord, that you'd open doors of opportunity for them. Lord, the doors that are the doors that the devil's trying to open in their life, I pray that you'd help them to see that and be aware of that, and you'd help them to not walk through those doors. But I pray, Father, you'd keep them in the Word, and I pray you'd keep them in prayer, and I pray, Father, that you would continue through friends and family, Christian people around them, to give them guidance and instruction, but most of all, that they'll listen to your Holy Spirit from within, that they might achieve the plan that you have for them, because that's going to be the best plan and the greatest plan, and where they're going to have the most impact to the most people when they live according to your will. We love them. We
appreciate them. We desire for their success today, and we love you. And we're here today to worship and honor you. So we thank you for your word and for your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We ask all this in the powerful and precious name of Jesus, and that you will grant prosperity, hope, and a future and success to Stevie and DJ today and all God's people.